Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Sunday, August 16th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news, as designated hitter Masataka Yoshida was placed on the 10-day IL with a hamstring strain. The timeline for Yoshida's return remains unclear, but he's going to miss at least the next 10 days. Anthony Siegler is expected to take over on the strong side of a DH platoon for the Red Sox that'll feature Jamai Jones on the short side, and catcher Mickey Gasper was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. And in other Red Sox injury news, reliever Justin Slayton was placed on the 15-day IL with elbow inflammation, and reliever Raymond Burgess was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. And next, outfielder Tyler Soderstrom was placed on the 10-day IL with a hip impingement. With Soderstrom out, outfielder Carlos Cortez will take over on the strong side of a left field platoon with Zach Geloff on the short side. And Geloff will handle third base duties versus right-handed pitchers, so it's going to be some sort of quasi platoon there, but he'll see time versus left-handed pitchers at the hot corner as he moves to left field. And when he's gone from the hot corner versus left-handed pitchers, shortstop Daryl Hernaiz, who was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move, will fill over, while Max Muncy takes over on the short side of a DH platoon that should see Tommy White on the strong side, unless the A's prefer his defense over Jeff McNeil's at first base. So a lot of moving parts here in Sacramento with Tyler Soderstrom hitting the IL, Carlos Cortez in a DH platoon with Max Muncy. Third base will be Carlos Cortez on the strong side of a left field platoon with Zach Geloff. Third base will be Geloff versus righties, Hernaiz versus lefties. DH will be Max Muncy on the short side with likely Tommy White or Jeff McNeil on the strong side, with either one of those guys mixing in at first base. A lot of moving parts there. And lastly, starting pitcher Justin Robleski was placed on the 15-day IL with forearm inflammation. He struggled recently and threw harder than ever on Saturday, which is an indicator sometimes of something more serious. Sometimes you see a guy throwing harder and it's an indicator that maybe their elbow's bad a sproing. Hopefully that's not the case here with Robleski, and he'll get a break. And the Dodgers could just go with a 5-man rotation, though they've been very happy with their 6-man rotation this year. So to replace Robleski, we could see Emmett Sheehan return from the minors, but Shohei Ohtani is on his way to returning to pitching, and Tyler Glasnow is on his way to return from the IL. And Dave Roberts already reported that Robleski is destined for the bullpen when Ohtani and Glasnow return. So maybe they just do a 5-man rotation until Ohtani and Glasnow return, but it remains unclear what the plan is for the next couple of weeks. Reliever Kyle Hurt was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. And in terms of transactions, starting pitcher Ronel Blanco was optioned to the minors after allowing 5 runs on Saturday and completing 5 frames just once in 5 outings since returning from the IL following Tommy John surgery. The Astros will probably not replace Blanco in the rotation and will instead have a game a week where they use an opener and Tatsuya Imai in bulk relief. Reliever Miguel Ulloa was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move, and he can also support Imai with his ability to pitch multiple innings in relief. Next, outfielder Brett Callahan was selected from the minors by the Tigers. He's a 24-year-old left-handed hitter who is the Tigers' number 19 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. At AA and AAA, Callahan has batted .269 with 13 homers, 29 steals, and a .118 WRC+. And with Riley Green and James Outman on the injured list, Callahan will be on the strong side of a left field platoon with Ben Maljory. Outfielder Trey Cruz was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. And lastly, starting pitcher Edward Cabrera was activated from the 15-day IL to start versus the Cardinals. He's missed the past month and nearly a half, month and a half with a hamstring strain and did not look great in his return. Cabrera went 3 2/3 innings, allowing 6 hits with 7 earned runs, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts, inducing 10 whiffs with 23% CSW across 77 pitches. And Cabrera returned to throwing harder, but showed no semblance of command with non-sinkers, earning just 51% strikes. A pair of inherited runners scoring after he was pulled during a disastrous fourth inning made this even worse than it already was. The struggles were later attributed to a blister on Cabrera's middle finger that could account for the disappearance of his control, and we can't in good faith start Cabrera in Seattle next, and he could head right back to the aisle given the severity, or depending on how severe that blister is. Starting pitcher Javier Assad was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And in terms of news, starting pitcher Quinn Matthews is expected to be recalled from the minors today to start in the first half of St. Louis's doubleheader in Cincinnati. Matthews is expected to return right back to the minors as he'll be the 27th man on Monday. Next, starting pitcher Shane McClanahan is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL today to start versus the Orioles. McClanahan has been out for the minimum time, recovering from mid-back tightness. And lastly, shortstop Dansby Swanson is expected to be placed on the 10-day IL with an oblique strain. The Cubs could go one of two ways, either have Bregman shift from third base to shortstop or Nico Horner shift from second base to shortstop. I think it's going to be Horner who shifts from second base to shortstop, with Pedro Ramirez getting everyday playing time at second base. Now we can take a look at our notable performances from Sunday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with first baseman Abimelech Ortiz, who did all he could, but the Nationals lost in Queens. He went 1-for-4 with a run, a home run, and an RBI. It was his fifth homer of the year, and it traveled 389 feet at 104 miles per hour. Ortiz is getting playing time on the strong side of a first base platoon for the Nationals since they traded Luis Garcia Jr. to the New York Yankees at the deadline, and Ortiz is honestly looking like a future star. Acquired in the trade that sent Mackenzie Gore to Texas to the Rangers, Ortiz has displayed impressive power and plate discipline throughout his rise through the minors, and it's only gotten more impressive in the majors as Ortiz has barreled 17% of his batted balls with a 50% hard hit rate without striking out a whole lot. That's a 24% strikeout rate in the majors thus far for Abimelech Ortiz. We've yet to see the max exit velocities that really got us excited about him in the minors. He was at 116.5 mph max exit velocity at AAA, but the potential is still there as Ortiz does have an elite 77 mph average bat speed and has an innate ability to pull fly balls, which allows Ortiz to constantly tap into his power. And honestly, I'm picking him up everywhere. Next, we have outfielder Lawrence Butler, who helped the A's to win against the Rangers, going 2-for-4 with a run, a home run, and 2 runs batted in. It was his 11th homer of the year, and it traveled 394 feet at 107 miles per hour. Butler got off to an insanely slow start, forcing him onto the bench for a good portion of the year. But with so many injuries in Sacramento, he's been thrust into full-time action in the outfield. But until recently, it was not going too well. However, last week changed everything for Butler as something clicked and he finally rediscovered his power stroke. Since then, he's gone deep 4 times in his last 5 games and has now gone yard 7 times in the second half after doing so just 4 times in the first half. And given Butler's 2020 track record and amazing home park for hitters, I'm going to give this hot streak a ride, pick up Butler everywhere. Lastly, we have third baseman Alec Bohm, who helped the Phillies to win in Minnesota, going 2-for-4 with 2 runs, a home run, and 4 runs batted in. It was his 14th homer of the year, and it traveled 408 feet at 105 miles per hour. Phillies fans had been calling for Bohm's job all year as he batted just 215 with a 73 WRC plus in the first half, but he's finally locked in, not only lacing 5 hits on Saturday, but following that up with a long ball on Sunday to continue what has been a resurgent second half that has seen Bohm bat 327 with a 132 WRC plus. Bohm is more of a points league play, given a lot of his value comes from his ability to mitigate strikeouts. He's been at under 12% strikeout rate in the second half, and he doesn't really steal many bags. He's got 2 steals on the season, nor does he go deep very often, just the 14 homers and just 3 during this second half hot streak. But if you need someone who's going to provide you batting average and impressive run production, Bohm is your guy, and you should pick him up while he's on fire. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Sunday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on PitcherList.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Noah Cameron in Anaheim as he helped the Royals to a win, pitching a complete game shutout as he allowed just one hit and one walk while striking out eight. Cameron induced 21 whiffs with 32% CSW across 115 pitches, and he earned the gallows pole by leading baseball with those 21 whiffs on Sunday. And Cameron stumbled his last time out, but he locked back in with the best start of his maybe his career, but definitely his best start of 2026 to continue what has been an impressive hot streak. Before allowing four runs in 5 2/3 innings in his last start, Cameron reeled off three straight starts with at least seven innings pitched, seven strikeouts, and no more than one run. He had eight inning outings there as well, and had got up to nine strikeouts and eight shutout innings. Just an impressive run from Cameron before he stumbled a little bit, but you throw this start in there and it's just been incredible four starts there since in the second half. And that's a 0.28 ERA, 0.44 whip, and a 30% strikeout rate in those four starts. And Cameron's obviously feeling his entire arsenal right now as he induced three or more whiffs with four different pitches on Sunday and put batters away with ease with changeups and sliders, each recording at least three strikeouts apiece. Cameron is an auto start versus the Tigers next, and he only sees his schedule get even easier after that start as he heads to Toronto before hosting the Marlins. And lastly, we have Ryan Weathers in Toronto as he helped the Yankees to win, tossing 7 1/3 innings, allowing six hits and one run, walking one while striking out four, inducing eight whiffs with 31% CSW across 95 pitches. And I've loved Weathers' recent approach of featuring his off-speed stuff more often than his hittable heaters, and it's led to more consistent production and has limited the long ball. But he departed from that strategy on Sunday, relying on sinkers as his primary pitch. Not my favorite approach, but it worked against a passive Toronto lineup that allowed him to steal 14 called strikes with the sinker, and they pummeled them into the ground when they did decide to swing while chasing changeups and missing often. Weather's command was exceptional here, and as long as he's avoiding damage on his heaters, I'm starting him everywhere. He's been on an incredible hot streak over the past few weeks, and he is an easy start in his rematch versus the Blue Jays up next. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Sunday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Raisel Iglesias worked around a run for his 25th save. Tim Hill worked around the zombie runner scoring for his second save as David Bednar attempted a five-out save but allowed an unearned run to blow his third save. In the end, he earned his sixth win when the Yankees reclaimed the lead in extras. Kodai Senga recorded his third save with a perfect ninth. Sean Newcomb had a seven-out save for his fourth save of the year, and it's as committee as a committee gets on the south side of Chicago. Yoan Duran had a scoreless three-strikeout ninth for his 26th save. Hogan Harris recorded his 12th save with a perfect ninth, and Andres Munoz pitched a hitless ninth for his 22nd save. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blew their saves, Brandon Garcia recorded two outs and allowed two runs pitching the seventh with the Diamondbacks trailing. I'm really not sure what's up with that usage. Maybe Garcia is more of a high leverage reliever than the closer that he's looked like since the trade deadline, but I'm still holding on to Garcia in the majority of fantasy leagues. Next, Cade Smith recorded the final out of the ninth with a five-run deficit. Smith hadn't pitched since Wednesday, and the Guardians are off today, so this was a maintenance outing. And lastly, Josh Hader pitched a scoreless ninth with the Astros trailing by one. The Astros are off today, so they were just getting Hader some work. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. And we're back. Jake Crumpler here. And now we can look forward to Monday, August 17th, a day in which we'll have 11 games on the slate. My matchup of the day is one that I don't think a lot of people are going to be paying attention to, but I'm pretty excited about. We got Quinn Matthews versus Chase Petty. Matthews really intrigued me in his MLB debut, and now he gets his second big league start here in Cincinnati. It may not be the best performance, but I'm interested to see what Matthews brings to the table this time around. Whereas Chase Petty is somebody with great stuff. If he could figure out how to control it, this could be a good battle of two young arms. In terms of probable starters, we've got two guys in the auto starts tier, Christopher Sanchez versus the Marlins and Nolan McClain versus the Padres. Our probably starts tier has three guys and our questionable starts tier has four. And that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Martin Perez in Minnesota. He's been on fire this year. It's been a full season Vargas role for Martin Perez as he just continues to command his arsenal. to maximize its effect. It's not an incredible stuff. He's not a pitcher that's going to strike out a bunch of batters, but his ability to limit hard contact, it has made him successful throughout the entire year. I'm starting Martin Perez in Minnesota. I'd also keep an eye out for Brian Bayo with an opener versus the Diamondbacks. It's not guaranteed he's starting, but the Red Sox haven't announced a starter for Monday, which likely means they're going to have an opener, which would likely lead to Bayo following. And he hasn't gone super deep as a reliever, but with an opener, he does have an increased chance at a win. And he's been very decent when pitching out of the bullpen this year. So I'll take a chance on Brian Bayo versus the Diamondbacks. In terms of hitter suggestions, I look at Royals hitters versus Mason Barnett in Kauffman Stadium. Barnett has pitched to a 6.16 ERA this year, so Royals hitters should have no problem there. I'd also target Braves hitters versus Bailey Ober in Minnesota, as Ober is the softest throwing starter in baseball, and he probably deserves some damage against him on Monday. I'd also target Dodgers and Rockies hitters in Coors Field. Pretty self-explanatory. We'll see Blake Snell square off against Tomoyuki Sugano in that one in baseball's premier hitters park. And lastly, I'd target Cardinals and Reds hitters in Great American Ballpark. Not only is it a great hitter's park, but there's also going to be a doubleheader. So you get double at-bats from Cardinals and Reds hitters. The first matchup, we'll see Quinn Matthews versus Chase Petty. And game two, we'll see Andre Pallante square off against Rhett Lauder. Now we can close things out with our relievers to watch. And every closer should be available on Monday, as none have been overworked recently. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.